You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies go out and have a really, really weird game last night, a late afternoon game against the Dallas Mavericks, a very important game for the Grizzlies. We'll talk about all that and more on this episode. It's been a few days since we've spoken. It's been since last Wednesday since I've had an episode. I apologize for that. I got sick again. I really struggled last week, so I apologize for that. But it was very, very difficult for me to talk. I was losing my voice. I had a lot of stuff going on. As you can probably hear, I'm not still fully over it, but the weather out here has just got me going crazy. So I apologize for that. But we're back today. We'll talk a little bit about what has happened since we've been gone, and we'll talk about some of the games. We'll talk about obviously where the Grizzlies are at in the lottery standings. This is the last week of the season, so there's not a whole lot left to talk about anyway before this season ends. And so we'll do all that this week and more. I got a couple things coming up. I think we'll probably be different episodes, so hopefully that'll all work out. And then after the season ends, I don't know what we're gonna do episode wise. I'm still talking with my bosses over here at Locked On to see what they want us to do. So I will let everybody know as soon as I figure it out. But most likely we'll be going down to less episodes per week on a weekly basis for the summer. Just probably checking in once or twice a week to see what, news and notes for how the Grizzlies are doing. Obviously, we'll record some emergency podcasts. If there are obviously, if there are any changes that are made in the offseason, if there are any trades that are to be done in the offseason, any of those type of things, we'll obviously always do emergency podcasts, so we can talk about those as soon as they happen, and probably have like a guest on the next episode to break it down further. So that's kind of the direction that we're headed for the offseason. And we'll probably I don't know exactly what we're gonna do, but I would say most likely is that we'll probably head down to a few fewer episodes per week. Just for the offseason, because there's not a whole lot going on. If you're not already subscribed to this show, please do so. You can get this show on Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or on the new Himalaya Podcast app. You can subscribe to us in that app, and it's super, super helpful. So check it out on the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, wherever you get your apps. Check that app, new app out for me. It's super helpful, and they are a great sponsor of this show. So if you're not already subscribe, please do that so you don't miss any episodes that are coming up in the future. The Grizzlies lose last night 129-127 to the Dallas Mavericks, a game they very much should have won. Let's talk about this game for just a second. This game was just super drunk. I mean, just super, super crazy. Justin Holiday has 30 points. DeLon Wright has another triple-double, 20 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. We'll talk about DeLon Wright specifically in a minute, so I don't want to touch too much on him just right now. But just a really, really fantastic performance by DeLon Wright again. The Grizzlies get bitten by the draw up play. I mean, this game was I want to say that the Grizzlies had like an 11-12 point lead late in the fourth there, and the Mavericks came back and they were down by, I believe, two, and the Grizzlies dribbling out the possession. Julian Washburn gets put in the game I'm assuming that J.B. Bickerstaff thinks the game is over. That's the only thing I can assume. I don't know why he was out there. He was out there just randomly at the end of the game, like the last possession into the game. So that was strange. And then so they take a three-pointer, long, long rebound. But there's still like 20 seconds left in this game. I mean, they were standing around at the end of that game on their offensive possession like they were going to dribble the ball out, but they still had to run a play. They didn't do anything until like the last second. Like, they were not prepared for the end of that game situation whatsoever. The amount of laziness that ensued on that possession is just shocking to me. But they thought the game was over. That is exactly what happened. And so they decided that they were going to dribbled the ball out, and they had a long rebound, and the Mavericks got the possession. And I'm sure you guys have all seen it floating on Twitter, but there was, I think there was five or six chances that they had at the rim, and they by themselves just missed a ton. They missed several at the rim, missed a three-pointer to win the game. But finally, I mean, you give an NBA team, you know, no matter how bad they are, five or six chances, you know, four or five of those at the rim, they're going to score the basketball. It's just that simple. I don't know how much harder it is to make that. And they tie the ball game, and they go into overtime, and immediately in the overtime, they run off 6 points. Grizzlies have to take a timeout, and then the Grizzlies come back on their own. Justin Holiday made some big plays at the end of the game, overtime, made some big threes. Let's talk about the end of the game. First of all, the end of the game, that the Grizzlies still had, I believe, 6 or 7 seconds left at the end of that game. It wasn't too much, but it was quite a bit. They had a timeout, so they called their timeout. They advanced the ball. Or no, excuse me, they didn't have a timeout, but they got fouled with 4 seconds left. That's what it was. So they got fouled 4 seconds left because they had to dribble the ball up the court. So the Mavericks, I guess, just wanted them to not have a clean kind of run to the basket. So that was an out-of-bounds play for went to Justin Holiday, and it was a curl off a screen, and Justin Holiday doesn't get off a shot. Like, doesn't even attempt a shot, which is disappointing because, you know, he didn't like, there was no, that whatever play they drew up was terrible. Like, that play didn't, there's nothing going to the basket. You only need 2 points. There's nothing going to the basket. Didn't even get a shot off. Just not great. I mean, not even remotely great. Some pretty bad coaching there. Like I said, in the overtime, they bring Tyler Zeller back in the game. Big Z. They bring him back in the game again. While he was out of the game at the end, if you just need a big man just to rebound, again, I don't know. They went with, again, at the end of the game, they went with Ivan Rabb and I believe Julian Washburn at the end of the game as their big. So that tells you all you need to know about what they did there. At the end of the game, they just didn't make shots. You know, that was the offense at the end of the fourth quarter, too. They just couldn't make shots. I mean, the offense, as we talked about on this show, it just looks so out of sorts. I mean, they don't look like they know what they're doing. It looks like pick up basketball. There doesn't look like there is any offense. You know, even the Mavericks, even how bad they are. Like, I noted, I was watching the game with Keith Parrish from Fast Break, the podcast Fast Break Basketball. Really good friend. You should check out his podcast if you're not already. It's a good show, but we were watching. I was watching him, and I just commented, and I think, you know, like, even the Mavericks, how bad they are, they still look like they have an offense. Like, it doesn't look like awful. It looked like they're running sets, like they were trying to do something. And the Grizzlies just doesn't look like they're trying to do anything. I don't know what they're trying to do. But even then, they have the basketball. They're down to. Because Justin Holiday ends up putting them back in this game. He hits like 2 3-pointers in a row to put them back in the game, to give them a chance down to with roughly, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds left. DeLon Wright has a play at the end of the game. There was clearly a DeLon Wright ISO play, and DeLon Wright decides to take a step back 3-pointer, instead of, like, literally doing the one thing that he's good at and driving to the basket. Like, DeLon Wright is extremely good at getting to the basket. He is very good at getting to the lane, getting penetration, all the way to the basket, and what seems like pretty easily throughout the entire game. But the one possession that it mattered, he decided to take us back a step back 3-pointer, something that he is awful at. That is just mind blowing to me how he, you know, that just goes to show you. I mean, DeLon Wright needs more experience in that situation, obviously. I don't really put it even on DeLon Wright. I put it more on the coaching staff to say, hey, this is what we need to do. Let's try to get a screen and get something going towards the basket. either make the refs make a decision, or you're so good at getting to the basket, you'll probably get there and tie the ball game. All you need is a two. You know, you don't have the offensive skills to probably go for the win there in a three. You only have a few three point shooters. They put Tyler Dorsey in at the end of the game, but you don't have a few 3-point shooters that can consistently make those shots anyhow. So like, you don't really have the offensive firepower to try to go for the win. So you just try to get the tie and try to extend the game. So like, I don't know what happened there. It's just beyond me. Like the decision making at the end of regular time and the end of overtime, they just baffle me. I don't understand how whatever the coaching staff is drawing up, that's what ends up on the court. Like, even if that wasn't the play for DeLon Wright, that's something that maybe it broke down, but it didn't look like anything broke down. It looked like that was a DeLon Wright ISO all the way. Like, it didn't look like anything. And the same thing for the end of the regulation for Justin Holiday. It didn't look like anything necessarily broke down. It just looked like he got in a bad spot when he turned the corner, and he didn't expect that person, that defender, to be in front of him. It looked like he got in a bad spot, and he didn't know what to do. And so he didn't do anything, and the time ran out. So, like, you know, like, the plays don't look like they're necessarily, like, not being ran correctly. I don't know, because I'm not in the huddle. I'm just speculating the fact that even if they're not, like, that's what you end up with. Like, you're not coaching DeLon Wright for, all right, if this thing breaks down, if this happens. Like, that's the thing about NBA. You have set plays, but off that one set play, there can be a multitude of decisions that you can make. Like, you know, off just the first pick, you can decide to go one of three ways. And after that second action on the set, you can still decide to go one of three ways. That's why one play may look the same for one team through the next, but the teams are able to do different things because they're able to make different decisions, and maybe run different actions off of those first decisions. And so if you're not talking to DeLon Wright and going, hey, you know, if X doesn't happen right, or if this doesn't happen right, you know, your backup plan is just to go to the basket. That is the end all be all. If you get caught in a situation where nothing pans out, you get caught in an ISO situation and you don't know what to do, go to the basket. That's what you should do. End of story every time, because you're going to force the ref to make a decision. You're going to either, if they don't make the decision correctly, then you are going to be able to possibly score the basket. So like, and tie the game. So like, that is the part of coaching that I just don't understand with this team. How it is not kind of drilled into the brain of a young kid that is out there in a new situation for him. So I don't blame DeLon Wright at all. I blame the coaching staff for not being there and not telling him, you know, giving him the tools to make the decisions themselves. But anyway, again, it was a weird game, a game that they definitely should have won, a game that put them, could have put them in a much better spot in the lottery standings. Now, the Grizzlies can still get to ninth. They have to finish 2-0. And only if the Pelicans finish 0-1, Mavs finish 1-1, or lose both games, the Grizzlies have to win both games. Pelicans have to lose the last game, and the Mavericks have to lose either one of the two last games. That will get them to the ninth, sole position in ninth. And so, if it doesn't happen, if they are still tied in any situation, the way I understand it, and I'll have to look this up to be very, you know, to be further clarified, the way I understand it is that if they are tied with the team, they will share the percentage. They will share the percentages for the odds, for the lottery odds, and then after that, it'll be a coin flip. So if Memphis were tied in eighth or seventh with Dallas or Washington or whomever, right now New Orleans, Washington, and Memphis are all tied at 32. From what I understand, they share the lottery odds, and then it's a coin flip after that. I don't know. I don't know if it's the coin flip first. I'll look that up, but that is the way I understand it right now. I could be wrong, and I'll double check on that to make sure and let you guys know tomorrow. But as it stands right now, the Grizzlies are still in ninth in that sole possession, they're tied with New Orleans, Washington at 32 wins, but the Memphis only has 47 losses. So that is why they are in ninth, and New Orleans and Washington are tied for seventh. So this got some serious, needs some probably help to get to that ninth spot. And we'll probably talk about that more. I know there's a question about that in the next segment. So, coming up after the break, we will talk about the, we'll do our Monday mailbag segment. We got, I think we got one or two questions for the Monday mailbag segment, and, we will go through those. So coming up after the break, make sure you stay tuned and we will do our Monday mailbag segment and answer those questions that you guys sent in. Welcome back to the show. Again, our Monday mailbag segment for this episode. I know I'm kind of running out of time, so we'll have to push our DeLon Wright conversation until tomorrow. I want to talk about what he could be in the future for the Grizzlies. So we'll talk about DeLon Wright more tomorrow. It was a super, I will just say this, it was a super impressive weekend for DeLon Wright. Has opened my eyes a little bit to what he could be. I know I like DeLon Wright as always. I've always said I liked DeLon Wright. I was just, I was always questioning if he can be the starting primary guard for a good team in the NBA. So that is kind of where my questioning was, but I like DeLon Wright. I think he'd be an excellent backup, an excellent third guard, combo guard. I just don't know what his long-term ability is. But, you know, this weekend, you know, who knows? It's hard to judge, you know, those type of games on a bad team because you just really never know. But we'll get into that and more on tomorrow's show. First question is coming from at Grizz Tony. Why is the convey crowd so worked up about the possibility of giving the Celtics unprotected 2021 pick? Do they know anything about the level of talent available then? Do they know the level of talent Grizz can draft this year or next? I will just say this. The idea of the conveying, why it's important to me, and I'll say, I don't think it has anything to do with the level of talent in that 2021 year. But if, even if the Grizzlies, even if we know nothing about the talent, I'll word it like this. Even if we know nothing about the talent, the idea that the Celtics could have the number one pick because you were really that bad that year. If you have the number one pick, there's going to be someone very, very good at basketball in the number one slot. I mean, there are years where that number one pick busts, but generally that number one pick is thought to be a very valuable basketball player. Even if you don't know who that player is and you don't even want to be in that position, you can always trade that number one pick. It's also valuable for a trade piece. I mean, there are lots of things you could that are good things to have from having a number one pick or number two or number three without even knowing what the draft class looks like that year. So, like, I also think the draft class is going to be good that year, but even if you know nothing about that, you can know that the possibility of the Celtics getting that pick is terrible. Even next year, I mean, it's only top six protected next year. So, you know, they could have, you know, they can have 7-8 next year. Again, I don't think it's that big of a deal next year. I know the draft class is supposed to be better than this year next year. So it should be a deeper draft. So that's the idea, is that you want to go on and get rid of this pick now and move on. That way next year you have hopefully a deeper draft class. You do have a top 10 draft pick. You're able to get a better player, more productive player than you are this year. This year you're picking at 6, 7, and 8. You're probably picking a role player in the NBA. You're probably picking, you know, a NBA player, but, you know, probably long term, but probably a role player off the bench. And I'm not sure that's what you want to do with a top 10 draft pick. I think that's just, I don't know how many people would want to say, yeah, I'd love to have a draft pick or a role player for a draft pick in the top 10. So for me, I don't think that's something that people want. And that's why people are so upset, or not upset, but that's why people are so, that's what they want to do. That's what the goal is to try to convey this pick, is because, you know, next year will be a much deeper draft class, supposedly. And then the year after that, no matter what the draft class is, you don't want to give away a first or a top three pick for anything, for any draft class. And so look at even that this year, even if the draft class is supposed to be bad, in the top three, those are all really, really good players. And so that's something you never want to do. Even if you don't want that pick, you can always trade it. You can do a lot of things with that pick. And the last thing you want is the Celtics coming in and having a really good team and getting even better from you just because you gave them an unprotected draft pick. So that is why the convey crowd is generally worked up about it, and myself included. I think that's the best possible outcome. That's it for all the questions today. I appreciate everyone sending in those questions every single week for Monday Mailbag. Make sure you're getting those in. You can DM them to me on Twitter at King_producer, at LockedOnGrizz. All the Twitter handles, you can DM those to me. You can email them to me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com, and I'll get those as well. I usually put out a tweet on Sunday that you can reply to as well and make it super easy for you to get your questions in for Locked On Grizzlies Monday Mailbag. That was something that we do every Monday, something we've been doing all year long in the second segment of this show. That's going to be it for this show today. We'll get into more of the DeLon Wright stuff tomorrow. So that'll be it for this show. And hopefully you guys bear with me as I know I was sick last week, and we'll start to do some different stuff coming up for the off season as we get closer and closer. This is the last week of the season. So hopefully we'll end on a good note and the Grizzlies will be able to get to that ninth spot and we can stop talking about the idea of conveying. That will be, I'm excited to not have that conversation anymore, because it's been, frankly, we've been doing it for about 3 months, and it's been it's tough to continue to have over and over, as you guys probably know. If you're not already subscribed to the show, please do so in Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on every single platform. Please subscribe. If you have a minute in iTunes, please go rate and review the podcast. It really helps out our rankings. Also, if you have a chance, please download the new Himalaya podcast app and subscribe to our podcast through the Himalaya podcast app. Great sponsor of the show. Again, if you're not already getting your Monday Mailbag questions in, please do that every single week. If you still don't know where to get the show, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.